This is the last day of this January 2017 Rohatsu 7-Day Sesshin. And we'll take up a koan today. This is from the Blue Cliff record. Number 21, Chimon and the Lotus. That's the Japanized form of his name. The Chinese, I'll use it, it's just two syllables, Jimen. Jimen and the Lotus. A monk asked Jimen, "How is it when the lotus flower has not yet emerged from the water?" Jimen said, "A lotus flower." Then the monk asked again, "What about after it has emerged from the water?" Jimen answered, "Lotus leaves." And we do have some biographical information on this Jimen Guangzhou. He was in the Song Dynasty, died in the year 1031. Well, he was probably born just at the tail end of the Tang Dynasty. Actually, have really almost no biographical material other than a lot of Chinese names, of place names, and this or that teacher I haven't heard of. He took his name from the temple and the mountain where he settled, Jimen. I'll be reading here from Andy Ferguson's Zen's Chinese Heritage. A monk asked Zen Master Jimen, "What is Buddha?" Jimen said, "When the straw sandals are worn out, continue barefoot." The monk asked, "What is the affair that is beyond Buddha?" Jimen said, "The tip of the staff upholds the sun and moon." A monk asked, "What is the meaning of the Bodhidharmas coming from the west?" Jimen said, "The eyes can't see the nose." The person then asked, "What is it when one understands in this manner?" Jimen said, "Smelling your nose." So what is the meaning of Bodhidharmas coming from the West? What is the ultimate truth? It became a formula, a conventional way of asking, what is ultimate reality? What is the Dharma? Jimen said, "The eyes can't see the nose." Really pointing to our original face. And then the same guy asks, "Well, what is it when one understands in this manner? Smelling your nose. You don't need to see it. If you smell it, if you experience it directly." A monk asked, "What is the pure Dharmakaya?" Dharmakaya, same thing. He's asking, "What is our true nature?" Jimen said, "The entire I is dust." Here's a dialogue that somewhat echoes our current, our koan for today. A monk asked, "What is it before the ancient mirror is polished?" Zhimen said, "It's just a piece of copper." The monk then asked, "What about after it is polished?" Zhimen said, "Then you can take it." A monk asked, "What is perceived by the student of the diamond eye?" Zhimen said, "A handful of sand." The monk then asked, "Why is it like that?" Zhimen said, "It's not a noble realm." There's another line, there's a line in another koan in Blue Cliff Record. It says, "No holy one in the emerald palace you see." Vast emptiness and nothing to be called holy is the way Bodhidharma responded to the emperor's question about ultimate truth. And then one last talk here. Zhimen entered the hall and addressed the monks, saying, "All of you put your staffs over your shoulder and go traveling, leaving one monastery and traveling to the next." This would be at the end of a 3-month training period when it's customary for the monks to disperse and travel to other temples. There were thousands of them at the time. How many different types of monasteries do you say there are? It's either a sandalwood monastery surrounded by sandalwood, or it's a thistle monastery surrounded by thistles. Or it could be a thistle monastery surrounded by sandalwood, or a sandalwood monastery surrounded by thistles. Of these four types of monasteries, in which type is each of you willing to spend your life? If you don't find a place to pass your life securely, then you're just wearing out your sandals for no reason, and eventually the day will come when the king of hell will take all of your sandal money. No more opportunity for practice. So we'll return now to the koan. That's all we have on Zhimen. And it's a short one. A monk asked Zhimen, "How is it when the lotus flower has not yet emerged from the water?" And most of you know the lotus has a powerful symbol in Buddhism, and that means Zen also. In Hinduism, it's a symbol of non-attachment because it floats on the water and yet remains dry. In Buddhism, it's a symbol of our true nature because the lotus, the actual lotus, grows up out of mud or muddy water and yet remains unstained by the mud, just as our true nature is revealed from this context of all of our own delusions, our defilements and afflictions. In spite of all of that, there is still this unstained bright, luminous mind that could never be clouded by ignorance. The lotus is also appears in the throne of Buddha figures often. You see it here in our own, the throne of this Buddha figure in the Zendo shows the lotus petals. There is in the Blue Cliff Record the introduction to this koan. It reads as follows: setting up the banner of the teaching, establishing the essential meaning. This is adding flowers to brocade. Strip off the blinders, unload the saddle pack. This is the season of the great peace. If you can discern the phrase outside of patterns, then when one is raised, you understand three. Otherwise, if you're not yet this way, as before, humbly listen to this treatment. And then it presents the case that we had read. I love this image ever since I first heard it. Strip off the blinders, unload the saddle pack. There is a verse from China that when the blinders come off and the saddle pack is it's a haiku, then the whinny of the mule. It doesn't take a lot to understand that this metaphor is talking about before enlightenment and after enlightenment. Even before it's emerged from the water, it's a lotus flower. Perfect. But then what about after? The monk asked, what about after it has emerged from the water? Chimon answered, lotus leaves. There's another translation, instead of lotus leaves, lotus petals. I learned many years ago that petals in German is Blütenblätter, which literally means blossom leaves. What's the difference between before and after? If you say there's no difference, wrong. If you say there is a difference, wrong. Go back to the Blue Cliff Record, the commentary, If you say it's the same, you confuse your Buddha nature and becloud true thusness. If you say it's different, mind and environment are not yet forgotten, and you descend to travel the road of interpretation. When will you ever cease? What has changed with that lotus flower once it emerges from the water? What, if anything? How could it really be in its essential nature be any different? And yet, something's changed. Many years ago, I was on a trip to Indonesia with Roshi Kaplo and some, I don't know, 15 other people. And the main Buddhist part of the trip was to visit the great monument Borobudur. Borobudur is at that time, anyway, it was considered the largest Buddhist monument in the world. And we took a bus. We hired a bus and went there. And on the way back, we stopped at this tea house, large, and not just a little tea house. It was quite an old one, and a site of some significance because it was on a tourist route. Our bus pulled in, and we clambered out, and the centerpiece of the grounds of this tea house was a large, long, rectangular pool, and out of the pool, coming up out of the water, were hundreds of lotus blossoms. The first time I'd ever seen lotuses in the wild or in nature and reality, and I can confirm that they were spotless, right coming up out of that muddy water. It happened to be, as luck would have it, happened to be the night of a full moon, and we sat there having our refreshments as dusk fell, the moon rose, sitting there around that pool of lotus flowers. And if that wasn't enough, they had music, amplified music of gamelan music, Indonesian music, the most spellbinding, beautiful music. I actually, they had the CD, I bought the CD, and we still play it on the weekend of Buddha's birthday up in the Buddha Hall when people are filing up there and being seated for that part of the ceremony, the Buddha's birthday ceremony. It was a transforming experience. Flowers have always been appreciated a great deal in Zen. Right from the very beginning, the alleged beginning, first transmission of the Dharma from the Buddha to Mahakashyapa, where this is in India at a place called Vulture Peak, The Buddha held up a flower before the assembly of monks. All of them were silent except the venerable Kashyapa, who broke into a smile. That the world-honored one said, "I have the all-pervading eye of the true Dharma, the secret heart of incomparable Nirvana, the true aspect of formless form. It does not rely on letters and is transmitted outside the sutras. I now hand it on to Mahakashyapa." And that, according to the legend, is when the Zen school began. Bodhidharma founded it in China, but this is the significant, most sort of formative event before that. Here, the Buddha could have been talking about a lotus flower, this all-pervading eye of the true Dharma, and so forth. Or he could have been talking about his attendant there next to him in that big assembly, or the guy in the back row, or the guy in the front row, or the merchant down the road in the nearest town. So we all are endowed with this lotus nature. No one having any more of it than anyone else, no one having any less of it than anyone else. But then there's that monk's second question. What about after it is emerged from the water? Chimon answered, "Lotus leaves." Lotus petals, we could say. What is the difference between those two responses, lotus flower and lotus leaves, lotus petals? Amala Sensei in New Zealand told me that she once heard from a Korean Zen monk there in Auckland, that a lotus leaf is somewhat concave, and once it emerges from the water, it tips over a bit, dumping that water out. Which we can understand is that after awakening, we need to empty ourselves of any sense of having gotten anything, attained anything. The Hua Yen Sutra, Hua Yen is another type of Buddhism. The words it offers for the Buddha's great enlightenment under the Bodhi tree are as follows. "As I now see all beings everywhere, each of them is endowed with the wisdom and virtue of the Tathagata, but because of their attachments and delusion, they do not realize it." It's not functioning, except it is functioning with every breath, every move. But in another sense, it's not. So we have practice to grow, to not grow. We can't grow this lotus of our nature. It's beyond growing or shrinking, coming or going. We can enable this lotus to appear, to manifest itself, to come out of its dormant state, so that it can work for us, so it can function to liberate all sentient beings, not just for the pleasure or the joy of seeing it, but then so that we can harness it, harness this confirmation of our nature, and then use it to bring some relief to this world of suffering, the millions, hundreds of millions of people who are suffering and living in darkness under the water. So we come to Sesshin. The best thing we can take from Sesshin is the inspiration to maintain a practice of daily sitting. The daily sitting will be the fertilizer that enables this lotus, our lotus nature, to blossom more and more, come up out of its latent state, and really work for us and for all beings. It helps to have seen, to have confirmed this lotus flower once it has emerged from the water. But even without it having emerged, we can work in this way, and to the eventual appearance or realization of it. Realization really means to realize something means to make it real. Even though we say that there is this, our nature is whole and complete just as it is, our task is to make it real in our lives. And short of awakening, we do that through daily practice. There's just nothing more important. If you had to choose between daily practice and Sesshin, I would say give up Sesshin. Make it daily practice. But if you can come to Sesshin, all the better. It's a real rapid grow of that lotus flower. We'll stop now and recite the four vows. All beings without number, I vow to liberate endless blind passions. I vow to uproot dharma gates beyond measure. I vow to
Madre, the great way of Buddha, I bow to attain. All beings without number, I bow to liberate. Endless blind passions, I bow to uproot. Dharma gaze beyond measure, I bow to manage it. The great way of Buddha, I bow to attain. All beings without number, I bow to liberate. Endless blind passions, I bow to uproot. Dharma gates beyond measure, I bow to manage it. The great way of Buddha, I bow to attain.